And then I just want to close off with a story. The passage is in Philippians chapter 2. And I realize it's been touched on recently. In verse 5, Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Then he describes what the Lord Jesus went through. I want you to understand that Paul's understanding was that there has always been a Father who had a Son and a Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God, Jesus is God, the Spirit is God. But yet the Scripture says that God is one. That God has come to us in three persons, three manifestations. Sometimes we use examples like the way H2O, we know it can be ice, it can be water, and it can be steam, but it always remains H2O. But the Son, who has always been, he was not created, he's always been with the Father, but he has not always had a body. And up until the time that he became a little baby, he had never ever, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, had never been ensconced within a body. And so Paul says this about him. He said, have the same attitude. He said, who being in very nature God. So he was always God, the Lord Jesus. He was always God, equal to the Father, equal to the Spirit. Then he said he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. The word grasp meant to hold on to something so that you could use it for your own ends. It was a word that was always used negatively. It was used of rulers who grasped onto power and grasped onto authority because they were unwilling to let it go. But Paul was saying that even though he was God, there was something of all that he knew in heaven that he did not grasp and hold on to. And then it goes on to say he made himself nothing. What Paul actually wrote was he emptied himself. People have said, well, did he empty himself of God? No, because in John's Gospel he said over and over that I and the Father are one. If he had emptied himself of his deity, then he would not and could not have said that. Now, here is God in human form. He's left the glory of heaven. And he's come to earth. And he's emptied himself. How? The next part says, by taking the very nature of a servant. The NIV uses the word servant, but it's the normal word for the word slave. So he took the very nature of a slave. And then it says he was made in human likeness. Then it said he humbled himself. And the word literally means he took the lowest place. Now here is God Almighty, who in glory has always lived with the Heavenly Father and with the Spirit in amazing glory. But he was willing to lay aside the glory to become a human being. Why did he do that? He did that because there was no other way that humanity, men, women, teenagers, children here on earth could ever be brought back to God. Our wrongdoing had caused an enormous barrier between us and God. God wanted that barrier to be gone. But as a righteous God, he could not just pretend that the barrier wasn't there. We have a sense of justice in us that when someone who's done something wrong gets off scot-free, we don't like that. We don't think that's just. Well, God is perfect justice. If he could not let a world that had run amok and turned against him, rebelled against its true creator. He couldn't let that just go on and on. He'd set a law, the soul that sins shall die, but everyone had to die for their own sin. I couldn't die for your sin, you couldn't die for my sin. We each had to die for our own sin. There was no perfect human being. But God in his love and his mercy became a human being. When the second person of the Trinity, who we know as Jesus, became a little baby, grew up, lived a perfect life, then at the end of his life here on earth, went to a cross. Why did he die? He'd done nothing wrong. He was dying for your sin and for my sin. He was taking upon himself the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. And it was poured out upon him when he went to the cross. But those who put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus, that when he died for them. That his death was the death we deserve. When we put our trust in him, the barrier of sin is broken. We're reunited with God to live the rest of our lives here on earth in relationship with him. Then when this life comes to an end, we'll live with him forever and ever. Let me close with a story. I'm going to actually read it because it's a story written by Chuck Colson, a man who went to be with the Lord a year or two back, a man who just in more recent years I've come to appreciate so much. The man who began prison fellowship and did a whole lot of other things. This is the story that he told. Bessie Smith was spending Christmas in jail. She had not been sentenced to death by the state. She was under a different death sentence because she had AIDS. I met Bessie and I came to give a Christmas message to the inmates. After the service, we walked down a narrow corridor and a heavy door was opened to reveal a dark, small cell. There sat Bessie, wrapped in a dressing gown, shivering in the cold, with an open Bible on her lap. After chatting for a few minutes, I came right to the point. Bessie, I said, do you know the Lord? I want to, he replied softly. I don't always feel like he's there. The voice trailed off. Would you like to pray with me to know Christ as your Savior? I asked. Bessie looked down, twisted a Kleenex in her thin little hands and finally whispered, yes, I would. So we prayed together in that cold concrete cell. Bessie was immediately drawn into a church and a Bible study where her newfound faith could be nurtured. 3 weeks after her release, though, she contracted pneumonia, had to be hospitalized. Christian, who visited her, found her newfound faith strong to the end. These are the happiest days of my life, she whispered. I know Jesus loves me, and you do too. 2 days later, Bessie died. She went to meet the Savior she had accepted only a short time before on that Christmas day in a cold prison cell. Why do we celebrate this day? We celebrate this day because in the purposes and plans of God, the God who loves you so much, left heaven. His Son came to earth, became a baby, lived a perfect life, went to a cross to die, so that you and I, Bessie, and hundreds of millions of others could come to know the one true God who has reached out in Christ to make it possible. We're coming to the end of a year. We're coming into a new year. I don't want anyone who is here this morning to leave without knowing what Bessie came to know. I just want to say, if you have never ever yielded your life to your God, you've never ever come to Christ, you've never ever put your faith and your trust in Him, I'd like you to take the opportunity this morning. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything like that. I'm simply going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to ask anyone to pray out loud even. But if it's your prayer, I'd like you to repeat it in your own mind after me. Just in your own mind, not out loud. Heavenly Father, I come this morning as one who is apart from you, separated from you. I don't know what to say, but I've heard this morning that you came to earth as a little baby. That's what this day is all about. You lived a perfect life, and then you died a perfect death. Not for anything you had done, but you took my sin and the punishment for my sin upon yourself. Thank you. I believe that this morning. I believe that this morning. I thank you for your love and your tenderness and your mercy toward me. Amen. Amen. Our musicians are going to come and we're going to just close on this morning.